Live from the I-10 corridor, it's the Dave Nemo Show.
Every month on whatever this is. And what I mean by that is it's the first Wednesday of the month. That's what it looks like to me. Every first Wednesday of the month, Bridget Blitch joins us on the program from Taylor & Associates. Bridget is a partner there at that law firm over in Florida. And she is intimately connected with the trucking industry and has really brought us some great and valuable insight and information through the last several months here on the Dave Nemo Show. Our segment with Bridget, she calls it Protecting Your Livelihood, and that's exactly what it's about. Well, the subject of cameras has been part and parcel of our discussion here on the program on again, off again for the last few years. And a couple weeks ago, one of our dear listeners said, hey, you know what? Maybe Bridget could talk about cameras from the legal standpoint. We asked her. She said, yep, sent over some great notes, and it's going to be a great hour. So we're going to get it started, too, before anything else happens. So we'll take a quick break here, and Bridget Blitch joins us in just a moment.
Hey truck drivers, last year miles took a dip for the industry and your paycheck felt it. At Schaefer Trucking, those miles are back and then some. Drivers at Schaefer are currently averaging 7% more than the industry. Plus, with a recent pay raise, OTR drivers now start out earning 49 to 52 cents per mile. It's no wonder we've been in business for 80 years. Stop waiting for your company to catch up. Visit SchaeferJobs.com or call 888-995-5809.
Hey, do you know what the top two operating expenses in over-the-road trucking are?
Beef jerky and Mountain Dew?
No, fuel and tires.
Oh, I know where you're heading. Sat Brothers for the Hunter Certified 3-Axle Alignment.
Yep, only $159.99, including standard adjustments.
What happens if you're out of alignment?
Well, you have excessive tire wear, increased fuel consumption, even unsafe handling and fatigue.
Oh, because you're fighting the wheel. That would be tiresome. Tiresome.
Oh, that's wheelie funny.
Special runs through July at Sat Brothers, where they do the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
Protecting your livelihood. Bridget Blitch joins us from Taylor & Associates over in Florida. Bridget, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
It's always great to have you with us. I know all ears are tuned in right now because cameras have been an arguable point for some time. And then when the inward-facing cameras came to be, whoa, that really started that ball rolling again. Earlier this morning, I kind of read a sentence or two from the notes that you were kind enough to send over. And I thought it might be a good place to maybe start today's conversation, and then we'll kind of flip to the top. If, and this is the key here, if you drive safely, this is going to be your best friend. If it is left between the word of the driver and the word of the claimant, juries will side with the claimant. And I mentioned that you have seen that way too many times in your career. How true is that?
It is true, and it comes also from not only my perspective, but my colleagues who have been doing this their entire careers as well. And so we face an uphill battle when it comes to defending these catastrophic claims. And even in other instances, when we just want to fight a traffic violation, we still fight an uphill battle. So these driver cameras are a wonderful tool from our perspective because it's not going to cheat you in any way. It's going to record whatever it is that is happening. And so there's no manipulation there of what's actually being recorded. It's just going to catch It's going to capture. And, you know, we are out there, and as safe as we operate, we can never, you know, absolutely see everything. And we can't predict the future. And some of the examples that I'm going to talk about today with our audience include situations where we have seasoned drivers that have never been in an accident and getting to the end of their career, and something happens that was unavoidable. And I'm going to walk you through two situations, one where we had a drive camera facing outward but not inward towards the driver, and then another where we had both an driver-facing camera and also a outward camera. And I'm going to walk through those two cases, and we'll see what happens when we have the tools available to us and then when we don't.
Understood. One of the things, and obviously you're talking about, you know, courtroom experiences. We've heard multiple stories from drivers who have had some type of accident on the road, and the police officer will talk to the four-wheeler and get one story and then come over to the driver, and the driver says, well, let me show you the video, and end of case. Are you seeing more and more folks who are just not even getting to court because of cameras?
Yes, if there is a camera available, then it certainly can shortcut that process. And that's one of the benefits of when we encounter these ambulance-chasing attorneys that think just because there's a motor vehicle accident that they've, you know, found their lottery ticket, and we said, no, we've got a driver camera, and your claimant is absolutely wrong, and here you go, and here's why, and then you don't hear anything further from them. So in those situations, it's a beautiful tool to back down those lawyers that think that, you know, every trucking case is a $1 million trucking case, and that's going to be their big win.
Got it. But that doesn't happen, even with a camera, that doesn't happen all the time, and you have some cases to kind of walk us through. There are different systems now. There are some that run continuously, some that only take a few seconds. I think 8 seconds is sort of like one of the rules here.
Right.
Seconds before, seconds after. Talk a little bit to how you feel about the different systems that are out there. What do you guys like the best in terms of what is most helpful, I guess, in court?
Sure. I'd be glad to. So what we like to see is those continuously running devices, because we want to show not just that the driver was alert and reacted appropriately right at the time or just immediately preceding the accident, but we want to show 5 minutes before or 20 minutes before that same behavior for the driver. So it is helpful to us to have as much of that information to show that we had an alert driver, we didn't have a distracted driver, that during that 5 minutes prior, 20 minutes prior, the driver was doing exactly what he should be doing, and he did exactly what he was supposed to do or could have done under the circumstances. So I know there are those drive cams that have eight seconds before and 4 seconds after each triggered event, or that the driver can also manipulate that. My thought is let the driver or let the camera just continuously run. I've encountered situations where sticky notes have been put over the camera that's facing the driver, or towels have been put over the camera. It's there to protect you as a driver. So let that camera operate and record the information, so that we as defense counsel in these cases can protect you and provide the best defense available to us with the evidence that we have captured by that drive camera.
Everything now in the world is so-called data-driven. Data essentially is numbers, ones and zeros in a sense. but trucking is becoming more and more data driven. So the cameras are collecting data essentially. They're taking, you know, they're videoing scenes, and you have the video and the audio in some case, but essentially it becomes data. What happens to the data? And how does the data get to where it's going? Obviously, it can't just stay in the camera. Are there different areas and different ways that data is transmitted and then recorded and preserved and then used?
Yes. So once an event is triggered, because the what happens is there's a gravitational force and the camera triggers that event in some instances if it's not running continuously. So what happens is once the software determines a triggered event, it is going to send that information via cellular network to a call center usually, where they're going to evaluate what that event was, and they're going to assign a risk score to that, usually on a scale of 0 to 20. And then it's labeled a scored event, such that the motor carrier company can review the scored events, including the video clips, which allows them to run reports on, okay, what is there something that we need to take? For example, is there a risky behavior that we identified in that video camera that from that footage that we need to correct? And this is where some of the studies have said that the benefits of having a driver camera is to help improve driver safety, and we can correct driving that is risky, but at the same time, we can also use the video to award defensive driving. So we can use it as a coaching tool, and we can also use it to reward those drivers that are operating safely.
And then that is where we kind of get into the weeds, I would imagine. But before we get into those weeds, I have another question about that ranking on the numerical scale. Are there standard proprietary systems of ranking events? And you mentioned some of them: swerving, hard braking, sudden acceleration, sharp turns, and then obviously a collision. But we'll take the collision out of that equation, I think, at the moment. Who decides how severe? I mean, is it a scale of, say, 1 to 10? So is a swerve a 2 and a hard braking a 7 and that sort of thing? And is it the company who decides those parameters, or is it the folks who manufacture the cameras?
Well, what often we see is that a motor carrier company will have a policy, and it'll say, you know, you have to operate, you have to drive defensively. So you'll have your driver handbook. And those will be the expectations that the company will have for its drivers in articulating, we expect you to operate safely. So if there is some hard braking event that the camera detects and gets reported to the motor carrier company, then in those situations where they're employing that driver, they may take that opportunity to sit down with the driver and say, you know, let's review what happened here. And maybe it's nothing. Maybe there's absolutely nothing the driver could have done to avoid that hard braking event. Or maybe there's some corrective action or training tool. So that, even though there may be some risk assessment by whatever the particular manufacturer is or management services program that's being utilized, that information and how it's ultimately used by the motor carrier company is going to be left with the discretion of the company that installed the driver camera or the owner-operator that installed the camera and is using the services.
Got it. Got it. We're going to take a quick break right here. You have a list of benefits. You have a list of costs. In other words, you're looking at both sides of this coin, and we certainly want to flip that coin back and forth here this morning. As we continue on protecting your livelihood here on the Dave Nemo Show, Bridget Blitch is with us, partner at Taylor & Associates, and we'll be looking at you through that camera in just a moment.
Two lane highway. Hello, I'm Barry Richards, Executive Vice President of Commercial Operations for TA Petrol. We believe professional drivers deserve respect and recognition for the good they do. That's why for the fifth year, we're accepting citizen driver nominations. Last year, we honored five more drivers, and once again, we're asking you to nominate drivers who earn respect for our industry through good citizenship, safety, community involvement, health and wellness, and leadership. Anyone can nominate a driver, and nominations are being accepted through September 30th, 2017, at which time a panel of trucking professionals will review the nominees. Early spring, we'll reveal our next Citizen Driver honorees at a special ceremony. Among other honors, they will have a TA or Petro location of their choice named for them. Visit ta-petro.com/citizen-driver to help us honor the professionals who drive our livelihoods and our country.
TA and Petro, full service means at your service.
Load Express. It's the online freight auction and matching marketplace where you make more money because you bid directly for a load with no brokers lowballing you. Your income goes up, your overhead and hassles go down. And for you, Load Express is totally free to use. The shipper pays the commission. With Load Express, the mega fleets have nothing on you. Get paid immediately upon your clean proof of delivery. And it's all on your tablet or smartphone. With Load Express, you're never alone, never forgotten. The new way to move freight. Deal direct, no brokers, loadexpress.com. Bridget Blitch is with us, and of course, it's preserving your livelihood here on the Dave Nemo Show. So, again, the coin has two sides, as they all do. Let's run through, I guess, the bright side of that shiny coin and talk about the several benefits. Now, you've kind of mentioned these obliquely, but we'll dig into each one if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. So, obviously, the first one on my list is the potential for the decreased liability where the driver is blameless. And the reason, and I want to kind of give some context to why this is such a benefit, is because in absence of a driver camera, when you're defending these types of catastrophic claims that can occur, the question comes up with the truck driver, what were you able to see and when? And oftentimes that will require a conspicuity expert. Now, the jury's out on whether that word is easier to say or spell, but that is an expert that is going to be able to determine or give an assessment of when could that driver see the bicycle on the side of the road or see the pedestrian, what was the lighting, what was around the environment. And so those issues are also often dealt with by what's called a human factors expert. And so what these human factor experts will do is they will use technology to basically capture after the fact the location where the accident occurred so that they can present a detailed animation that displays the line of sight from the accident from multiple viewpoints, including the driver's viewpoint. Now, what they can't do, obviously, is they can't recreate what the facial expressions of the driver were or what the driver did immediately prior to the accident, but in absence of a camera, a jury can see how almost firsthand the truck driver, let's say, probably never saw the bicyclist because of the hedges or whether the pedestrian was in plain view. So when you have a driver camera that captures this information, you may still have a animation reconstruction, but you have that video right there that can capture to show the driver was blameless. There was nothing different that the driver could have done under the circumstances. And so in these cases that we can defend, we can expedite the defense and the resolution of the case by having that information available to us. That's the number one.
Got it. If I could just say something here, and this is an observation from what you've just said, that human factors analyst going out, creating the animation, that might wind up doing the same thing as a camera would have done, but it's going to be a lot more expensive, right?
Yes, sure. It'll be a lot more expensive, and the when we get into the jury room, or even let's say the mediation, a lot of times we'll use these animation depictions to show here's what the driver saw, and we'll use that tool hopefully before we ever have to get to jury room to resolve the case. But it's when you can have that video footage available, can certainly save you costs in the first run and a lot of heartache in having to, you know, be the driver and know that case is going on. We certainly want to get that case resolved sooner rather than later so that driver can get back on the road. These always have such a significant impact on our, not only just the motor carriers, but the drivers that went through this situation. So having that camera can help us get to an end sooner rather than later.
Understood. The next thing on the list is improvement of driver safety, Bridget. And this is one that gets a little dicey because one man's coaching is another man's harassment.
Yeah, so there was a study that was done by the Virginia Tech that came out a couple years ago that was done by Lytics, and it said here's by being able to identify what is perceived as risky behavior, we can address that type of driving and use it to try to, as a tool, to correct and taking it constructive criticism of we, you know, in the industry want to be better at what we do and safer at what we do. So that was the rationale behind it. According to the study, it said as many as 801 lives could be saved annually by having this driver camera in place. As many as 25,007 collisions could be prevented, and as many as 39,066 injuries could be prevented, based on the premise that we can identify driving that is risk that either presents a risk to the driver or the public or anybody around that vehicle.
So here we go back to data, and it's hard to argue with that level of data.
Yeah, I mean, if the driver behavior is the primary reason for the traffic crashes, then that approaches that focus by reducing that behavior. That's the rationale behind the study. So we're not only improving driver safety, but to my next point, we're also preventing future collisions, deaths, and injury. Now, obviously, in those situations where a driver is doing absolutely everything that he or she should do, you know, that's going to be a different variable. But where we can improve our driver's safety, this study speaks to that.
One of the things that we just have enough time for me to say we just have enough time for me to ask you just one quick question, but kind of running back to what you said early on, you like the continuously run cameras because they can show a driver 5 minutes before, 20 minutes before, so that you, it's almost like, hey, this driver's lifestyle is safe driving. You know, not just at the split second of this accident, but this is the kind of person that is, and it kind of plays to character, I think, more than anything else. And boy, if you can show that in court, that's a real plus, I would imagine.
Yeah, it is, because all of a sudden your whole life of driving is now down to this 5-20 minute window, and what a great opportunity to showcase what you've been doing your whole life behind the wheel.
We will come back here in just a moment. A couple of more points to make on benefits briefly, and then we'll flip that coin over and talk about the costs. And we're talking about the cameras, so the forward-facing cameras, the inward-facing cameras. Bridget Blitch is with us. It's protecting your livelihood. Bridget, of course, a partner at Taylor & Associates. And we'll be right back after news and weather. And those case studies coming up, too.
Now, back to the Dave Nemo Show on SiriusXM's Road Dog Truckin' Radio.
Bridget Blitch is with us this morning, of course, and protecting your livelihood on the air. Bridget and partner at Taylor & Associates over in Florida, close to our own Tammy's home place over there on the coast. Bridget, got just a couple of quick things, I think, to kind of wrap up the benefits side of the coin. One of the things you mentioned, possibly preventing future collisions. I mean, the whole idea is to prevent collisions, so this is one great tool to do that through education.
Correct, right. And so you can identify driver violations even though you don't have an inspection where law enforcement actually identified the violation. So it gives the driver and the motor carrier a leg up to say, oh, you know what, that was a bad choice. I shouldn't have done that. I should have gone out in the middle lane, or whatever the situation is. We can track those violations before law enforcement or before an accident happens and get the corrective tool in place to make sure that those events or those close calls don't happen again.
One of the things that we talk about in other arenas in trucking is the freedom of the road. And if you're in my generation, trucking was all about freedom of the road. A lot of folks coming out of Vietnam really wanted to kind of get away from it all and become drivers back in that day. That freedom of the road is getting boxed in and fenced in a lot more and more and more. So the privacy issue, the ELD, a lot of argument against the ELD, the electronic logging device, privacy. Obviously, if you got a camera pointing at you, that's probably the ultimate invasion of privacy. So how do people square that?
Yeah, so that's the biggest pushback that we get is, why do you have to have a camera on me as a driver? Isn't it just important to see what's going on outside of the truck, not what's going on inside of the cab? And there's the arguments, and there's been cases that have been litigated on the privacy issue that say, well, isn't there some less invasive means to prevent the driver from being distracted, like a cell phone jamming device? And as we'll get to in one of my examples, you'll see that despite, you know, what you may be able to do to prevent distracted driving, the benefit is going to outweigh the cost of that issue. But I certainly, you know, I understand that it's invasive and may not, you know, for some drivers be comfortable, you know, to think that, this is like my office, this is where I sit, and somebody's constantly recording my every movement. You know, the other side of that is, but we're also constantly under surveillance. Whether we're at a bank or we're at a grocery store, we're pumping gas at a casino, we're doing a webcast for a business. I mean, we're constantly now under surveillance, and whether we recognize it or not. And so the view in the industry is, well, you're operating a vehicle that affects not only your safety, but the safety of the public and people around you. And so some of the reported opinions where this privacy issue has been challenged is that because we are regulated, you are a regulated industry, the benefit outweighs the cost. And some courts have found that there's no right to privacy there. So we certainly appreciate the perspective. You know, you talk about the back in the Vietnam era when drivers were coming out. My stepdad was one of those people. He was an owner-operator on the road for many, many years, but now he has a drive cam in his personal vehicle. So he appreciates the what it does for you, not just out in the truck, but in his four-wheeler as well.
Understood. Got that. I opened up our program together with the last point of your notes. If you drive safely, this is going to be your best friend. The next point under the costs heading, you'll have increased liability if you're at fault. So that's a two-edged sword, and both sides of that blade are pretty sharp.
It is. The cameras don't create evidence against the driver. The cameras just record what is happening. So if the driver does violate a traffic safety signal, does something to contribute to an accident, then the video camera is going to capture that. So that's the downside. Some of the opinions in the industry is that trucking companies would rather know up front whether their driver and their company are at fault. Same thing from an insurance perspective when they're evaluating the risk and what's the value of the case. And how much are we going to invest in defending this case if we know that we're at fault and we have that that information available to us because of that driver camera? So, the downside is if we are at fault, then it's going to capture that. But there's still ways to use that information to our advantage.
I want to just break in to the notes here. One of our dear listeners, Amy, called in and wanted to know about the legality of using a cell phone video. In other words, as opposed to a dash cam, which is, you know, recording data in that way. Is it tantamount to the same thing, or can you punch some holes in a cell phone video?
Well, from an evidentiary perspective, I mean, you would have to just go through and do your foundation that the video was taken at or about the time of the incident. I don't see anything different from a cell phone video if you had your cell phone mounted in the same location as your driver camera. That would be any different. You would go through the same evidentiary tools. Now, there may be some objections from the plaintiff's counsel challenging the reliability, in which case you may have to get the cell phone company involved to say, you know, this is go through the manufacturing process and that there was nothing altered by this video or wasn't generated after the fact.
And I would imagine, too, and this may sound a little silly, but you'd have to pretty much prove that you weren't holding that cell phone, too, right? I mean...
Yeah, that's what I said. If you mount your cell phone...
Yeah, I know. I heard you say that.
You don't want to be holding that. That would go against the grain there if we're holding our cell phone. As the accident is happening, it might be a distracted driving case right there.
Yeah, exactly. There's a joke in there someplace. But at any rate, the thing is, what's the balance? How does that coin flip? How does that sword cut? Do the benefits outweigh the risks? And you have some examples on those.
Yes, I do. So these are cases with which we have personal knowledge. And so let me just share these two stories with you and with our audience so they can kind of now take in all the information that we've just talked about and, you know, make the decision for themselves. So the first situation is we have a driver. He's going down I-80 East in Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's midday. There's no adverse weather conditions. It's daylight, clear visibility. The driver realizes that he's going the wrong way and gets on an exit ramp to turn around. And going down the ramp, instead of having a stop sign, there's a yield sign. So he's traveling about 5 to 10 miles an hour. And he looks to the left, you know, looks to the right, and looks to the left again, and doesn't see anyone coming. There is, however, an overpass that is blocking the driver's line of sight. And so the truck is approaching, again, is continuing going 5 to 10 miles an hour. And a pickup truck comes in, pickup truck meaning a four-wheeler, comes into view, and the driver hits the pickup truck. Our truck driver hits the pickup truck. The accident itself is caught on camera. We have an outward-facing camera. And we can see there is only 1.4 seconds before impact when that truck comes into the driver's line of sight. The driver of the truck was going hunting with his nephew, a young child riding as a passenger. And sadly, the nephew is killed. The truck ends up hitting the passenger side directly and pushes the truck across the road. The driver, the truck driver, did everything right. He followed the traffic control signal. It was a yield. He was only going 5 to 10 miles an hour. And a human factors expert will argue that there's not enough time for the driver to react, and that the driver's not negligent. Again, we're going only 5 to 10 miles an hour, and we've looked left, we've looked right, we look left again. And by the way, our driver, he's been driving for 15 years, knows how to operate a truck. So, Dave, what do you think is the result for the driver in that case?
I would say that they ruled against him.
So what happened is law enforcement arrived. And obviously, you can imagine it's very emotional at the scene of the accident, and gives the gives the driver a citation for vehicular manslaughter.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's devastating. I mean, the whole situation is devastating. But if we could have had a driver-facing camera to show that that driver was looking in all directions as he was approaching, not just up at the yield sign, but as he's approaching, he's observing everything around him, that could have meant the difference between the vehicular manslaughter charge and being just not given any citation, because it would have shown he was constantly observing his surrounding and there was nothing different he could have done.
Wow. So he is, how did the sentencing on that go?
Well, we're still working on that,
oh.
But I will give you,
Oh, okay. Wow. So this is like a current case.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
These are current cases.
Okay.
But when we, we'll get involved early on, and the, oftentimes the goal will be to try to resolve it at a mediation stage. We can have our human factors expert like we have and do the animation video, but the one thing that we miss is the expression on the driver and the reaction of the driver.
So that is the case example with a outward-facing camera only, no driver-facing camera. The next example, though, there is a driver-facing camera in the cab.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So in this situation, we have a tour bus operator traveling down I-95 north of Savannah, Georgia. The time of day is dusk. It's just 30 minutes after sunset. Here, again, we have another very seasoned driver of 25 years. Traveling down the road, also with the bus, is a young man on a motorcycle. And he's having some mechanical difficulties. There's an issue with the fuel supply getting to his bike. So he calls his wife and says he's on his way home, but he's having trouble. His wife says, just pull off the road and I'll come and get you. It's dark. I don't want you out on the road. Just pull off the side. And he says, no, I'll be careful. I'm just going to, get off the highway here and I'll be, it may take me a little bit, but I'll be on my way home. So he starts to pull onto the highway, traveling 5 to 10 miles an hour, and the bus hits him, kills him.
Mm.
human factors expert will tell us that the driver would have been within a couple hundred feet to determine whether she was closing faster than perceived. But in this situation, we have a driver-facing camera and we have an outward-facing camera. And what we can see is from the outward-facing camera that the motorcycle almost immediately comes up and he pulls out in front of the bus. But the other thing that we can see is that the driver, in reaction, is looking out to the right to see if she can get over and looking ahead and then looking again to the right, and the shock in her face and that quick reaction time that she's trying to move, see if she can safely move over to avoid hitting that motorcycle, hitting that young man, is all caught on camera. So in that situation, Dave, you want to take a venture of what happens there?
Well, I don't know if she would be exonerated, but certainly it's looking, it's like it's going to go her way, based not on the outward, but certainly on the inward. Am I close?
Yeah. So we get a successful defense in that instance. So we've, the driver, again, capturing everything that could have been done, making all the right visual observations to try to avoid the accident, and just not having enough time. Seeing the light reflected back from the motorcycle on her face, the shock, and the attempt to try to move over safely without obviously compromising the risk of the passengers that are operating on her bus as well.
Wow. So those are two current cases. This is real life, real time kind of stuff. Thank you for bringing that to us, Bridget, and that really brings it home. But speaking of bringing things home, you do have some takeaway thoughts for us here that I hope everybody will really zero in on.
Yes. And when I say this, it is coming not just from my opinion, but from those who have, like I said, done this for many, many years, a career of defending truck drivers, defending trucking companies, that more often than not, this camera will relieve you from liability exposure and will be a very effective tool for us as the defense counsel to back down that ambulance chasing lawyers. The other thing is, even though the motor carrier, if you're an owner-operator, you carry insurance, that insurance is not going to save you from civil punitive damages and from going to prison. So like in our situation with our driver that's coming up on the yield sign, you know, despite having minimum financial security obligations under the federal government, that's not going to protect your job. It's not going to protect you being able to be out on the road and go home to your family. Don't block the camera if it's there. It's there to help you. It's there to help us. We want to show that you are operating safely, not just immediately prior to the accident, but before, that you were alert. And like you said at the beginning, Dave, you know, if you're driving safely, this is really going to be your best friend, because when we go into the courtroom, what do the juries want to do if it's just the driver's word versus the claimant's word, and they see that either the claimant's lost their leg or it's a widow, you know, and there's this whole line of plaintiff's theory that they're going to try to make the jury feel as though that, you know, they were the person that was injured or the person that lost a family member, and they're going to try to use that emotion against the trucking company and against the driver. So let's have that evidence available to show we did the right thing. We operated safely. We've been operating safely. No accidents, or, you know, we know we're here to be safe, and it'll help us, and it'll help you.
Indeed, because when a driver goes into court, and you know this more than anybody, their whole driving history is on trial. It's the lifestyle thing. We have just enough time, I think, to grab a phone call, Bridget. Thank you so much for an incredibly in-depth and reliable bit of information on the cameras on both sides of the equation. But KC is with us up in Maine. KC, go right ahead with Bridget.
Hey, Bridget, how are you?
Hey, Casey, I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm good. My question is, when you in the evidentiary process, do they can the defense go back and look at, like, I know you have, like, say you have the incident, like, right now, but then they want to go back and look at actually how your driving was, you know, that past, either that day or that past week. Is that allowed?
Well, I think the question is, you know, is there something there to demonstrate that you were not, or that the driver was operating negligently earlier in time? And is that mean that then at the time that you were also operating negligently? So you make it an objection that how is that relevant? We show, if we can show it from the driver camera that you were operating safely prior to the accident and just immediately leading up to it and that your actions were safe, that could, you know, does that confuse the jury? Does that confuse the issues? Does it mean that you're, you know, more likely than not to have been negligent? It seems to me that might be an evidentiary objection under 403 is the rule, that we don't want to confuse the jury. We can show under the drive cam that you were operating safely at that time. And maybe, you know, what was done a week before, you sat down with your operations manager, your safety director, and corrective action was taken. And so if you've got corrective remedial action, that can't be used against you to show liability. So I think it's an excellent question, one that does come up, and, you know, we just want to present the evidence that shows that you were not negligent, that the motor carrier company wasn't negligent at the time.
Well, KC, thank you very much. That wraps up the segment with a really good question. Bridget, thank you as always. Looking forward to our July session on preserving your livelihood.
My pleasure, Dave. It's been a great morning. Glad to have the opportunity to share this information, and thanks to Dogman for bringing this up a couple weeks ago. Anytime any of the audience wants to have a topic discussed, let me know. I'm always happy to share my information.
Thank you so much. Bridget Blitch, everyone, partner at Taylor & Associates, attorneys at law over in the Sunshine State. And we get together with Bridget the first Wednesday of each month, and we call our segment Preserving Your Livelihood.
Ride the trail with us this Saturday on the Dave Nemo Weekend Show, where we'll be serving up Claire Marie's Trail Mixins and Fixins.
And rustling up Jimmy Mack's Western of the Week. Two things that go together like...
Ooh, tumbleweed and existential dread.
I was thinking more like campfires in the night sky, but you do you.
Talk to you this Saturday on the Dave Nemo Weekend Show.
Our forefathers got it right. Build a nation that rewards hard work and provides ample opportunity to enjoy the outdoors. For many Americans, that means sun up to sundown work, producing food for a country, and reconnecting through our hunting and fishing heritage. But powerful forces are working against us, spending big money to buy new laws that restrict our rights as farmers, animal owners, and sportsmen. We need to fight back. Please visit protecttheharvest.com to learn about the threats and what you can do to help.
Have you heard the news? Rand McNally just announced the release of their newest truck-specific GPS, the TND740. This cutting-edge fifth-generation device has been redesigned in and out. It includes a quad-core processor for lightning-fast route calculations, updated maps and icons, and an easy-on, easy-off magnetic mount. The TND740 also features over-the-air updates, so you can be sure that you always have the latest maps. Learn more at randmcnally.com/TND740.
Thanks again to Bridget Blitch. Thank you for being with us here this morning as well. But stay with us because, well, we've got another hour to roll with you, at the bottom of which Jim Park joins us for this week's edition of Canada Calling. They just came back from the big CCMT meeting. I don't think I got all the letters in on that one.